Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you the struggle that has taken place in recent years in Benton Harbor is a case in point that holds a numerous of lessons for the American people. The fight in Benton Harbor is a war. It is not a conflict. It is a war, a real live war over whether the Americans and the residents of Benton Harbor will have prosperity, clean, safe water, or live in poverty under the heels of open whirlpool rule. The attack on democracy in Benton Harbor showed the corporate power structure is determined to crush anyone who stands in his way. It is part of a process underway all across America in various forms, It shows what they will do. There is no limit to what they will do. Everybody is, regardless who they are, they are expendable. Let me ask you the question of the day. What if there was no racism here in America? What if there was no racism in Michigan? What if there was no racism in Barron County? What if there was no racism in Benton Harbor? What would America look like without racism? What would Michigan look like without racism? What would a world look like without racism? What would Barron County look like without racism? Racism is here. You know, here's the thing. We can defeat racism if we got rid of all the symbols, because then we become one. The key thing is eliminating all the symbols. You see, if we eliminate the symbols, our government will be better. Our schools will be better. Our community will be better. The dollar will continue to circulate in our community. If we got rid of all the symbols, I know your uncle might be one, your brother, even your mother, your father. And you don't want to get rid of the symbols because they're part of your family, even though it might damage the future of our children for the next 2-3 generations. That's right. That is correct. So we must stamp out all symbols. There's nothing worse in this world for a symbol to perpetrate a fraud on the people, the black people. So the question is, What would Benton Harbor look like without racism? And from there, we could build. And we'll be able to keep building and building until we have that foundation to grow. Racism is alive and well here. It's highly, highly unusual for anyone to stand up against it. You see, what they did to us years and years and years ago now reflect upon us. That's right. What they did years and years and years ago reflect upon us today. You see, the difference is we will go out and kill a black person if they looked at them, stepped on their toes, owe them a dollar, get mad and do these things. But in reality, you see, all this come from slavery 450 years ago. And this is going to continue. It might take us another 450 years. You know, it has taken us 450 years to get where we at today. And we're nowhere. We're nowhere. They got us just where they want us. And it's going to continue. Let's say the federal government send down, let's say, $50 billion into our community. 45 of that, those billion dollars is going to go for administration. That's why you never see any change in the community. See, they don't allow black people to be administrators. It's strictly white, or they might have one person who they can count on, which is a natural symbol. They might have one person, but $45 billion is going to go to them. Perfect example. Benton Harbor had over $100 million come down. That's right. Over $100 million. And $100 million went to the white folks. It left this community. They may have given them a few kickbacks. But other than that, the money left the community. See, how do you run a government when you allow that amount of money to leave our community? How? It's not even possible. It's nothing to really, well, it's something to get angry about. You should be angry about this. You should be angry about what's going on in this community. $100 million. Actually, it was more than that. But that's all I can track is $100 million. And $100 million went into the hands of the white man. That's right. $100 million in one of the poorest communities in the world, and not one single black person stood up and said anything. We only have two elected officials that actually work for our community. That's Ethel Clark Griffin and Mary Alice Adams. They're the only two. But they don't, you know, even they vote, if they vote no, it basically means nothing. It actually means nothing. Because they got seven people who's going to vote the way they want them to vote to eliminate black folks. They got seven people who's going to vote the way they want to vote to eliminate black folks. $100 million. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Actually, probably was a lot more than that. But like I said, that's all. That's all I'm going to apologize. That's all I can track. That's all I know about, you know. But I know it's a lot more. Every single dime went to white folks. Every single dime. And they had the nerve to walk out here like they done something. Walk out with their chest all out like they gave the money. And then they gave them a trophy, a little $10 trophy, thanking them for a great job that they did. You gave me $100 million, I'm giving you a $10 trophy. And you want to pat you on the back of the head and say you did a great job. How stupid. How stupid can we be? And it all goes back to racism. Racism is what they feed. When you feed racism, it grows. And that's what we have today. That incident in Florida, Jacksonville, Florida. That's important because that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's what we don't know. That's how we do things. That's how we, our level of concentration. Our concentration should be on the future of our children. Education is number one for our children. Education. And it starts at home. Education is number one for our children. You know. And that's a fact, you see. That's how you build a community, by educating the community. You know, I mean educate. I don't mean just send them to school. You know, you got to find the right teachers. You got to find the school plan, the right school plan. You got to do all this in order for our children to be successful. And this is what we don't do. You see, our level of concentration is feeding our children, which is a very good thing. But we have to start educating our children ourselves. We can't depend on the school system to educate our children because they have failed our children. And they won't spend the money that needs to be spent to help with our children. What if there was no racism? None. What if there was no racism in Benton Harbor? How will Benton Harbor grow? Most likely they'll find them a couple of Sambos, give them a few dollars underneath the table, and their job is not to allow the children to be educated. That's how that is. That's unfortunate. Fortunate, but that's just the way it is. And I don't see how someone can walk around here knowing that these people are Sambos and not say anything, not do anything, and not stand up for your own children. You see, that's why I go from state to state trying to educate people about the Sambo. And it's working. We're going to establish one in St. Louis. We're going to establish one in Milwaukee. We're going to establish one in Columbus, Ohio. And I don't care how they want to do it. You know, my thing is I'm doing it once a year, yearly. They can be, you know, they want to do it weekly, that's on them. It's work, though. It's work. You know, it ain't easy, especially when you got people emailing you all these emails. I have not even counted all the people who voted between yesterday and today. I have not. And I apologize for that. But I will have that total. I will have that total next Sunday. But here's the thing. The Sambo Award has gone wild. I have never, ever got so much attention on a subject as that. People want me to come there and talk to them about it, set it up, show them. I'm willing to do it for free. I'm willing to do it. But we still must maintain our Sambo Award here. So far, we have Will Smith, Jada Smith, will be coming January 6th. I'm going to have the tickets printed up after the election is over with. Those who want tickets, let's see, the ones who voted, they will have priority. And I know people are going to be flying in from all over the country, but I need a count so we can know how much food and how much stuff we need to have. But Sunday is, we have the dinner, January 6th, that's a Saturday. The person that wins the Sambo of the Year Award will sit at the head table with them. And on Sunday, we'll have breakfast at this restaurant that we normally have. We have the whole restaurant to ourselves. So that, and the winner get $500. The Sambo of the Year get $500. So here's the tally so far. So far, these are the same numbers from yesterday. They have not changed because I have not had an opportunity to add them all up and get them in order. I have not. And what I'm going to do, I'm just going to do it like on a once a week on Sunday, I'll make the announcement. Then I probably have that same total on Sunday and Monday. So here it is. My legacy is running away with this. She's killing them. I know people have looked her up. And I said this earlier. You don't have to give me an explanation why you voted for a certain person. But if you do, I promise, make sure if you could keep it, the 15 to 20 words, I'm good. Okay? Because we're getting so many, it's overwhelming us. But if you want to, because I know this is important to you because you wouldn't vote, it was important to you. So I want you to make sure that you're doing all the things that you're supposed to do and do the things that need to be done. If you can do that, I'm more than happy. So let's do that. All right. My letter C's, 6,242 votes. That's a huge amount of numbers. That's real good. Then we have Trenton Bowling, 4,582 votes. Puts him in second place. Then we have Marcus Muhammad, the mayor here. Oh, man, well, he's pitiful. But you have to see God for yourself. I can't see God for you. Every knee gonna bow and every tongue gonna confess. That's a promise. That's not to say so. Then we have Dwayne C., the son of Maletta C., 4,309 votes. Let me repeat that. He got 4,309 votes. Between him and his mother, they got over 10,000 votes. Wow. That's a lot. Then we have Ron Singleton, the disgraced commissioner. And when I say disgrace, I mean disgrace. And he's still robbing the people. People don't care. You know, all they have to do is know you. If they know you, you can rob them. He got 4,307 votes. That's right. 4,307 votes. Ryan, the disgrace commissioner. Then we have Ellis Mitchell, the city manager. We call him Sleepy. Sleepy. That's what we call him. Sleepy. He got 4,129. Then we have Judge Mayfield. Did they call her the baby snatcher? And remember this. I did not select these people. This was done by the community. The community, the one nominee. It takes five people to get you on the ballot. Five people have to nominate you. My letter was fortunate. She got almost 50 people to nominate her. So she was more fortunate than everybody else. And then we have Chief McGinnis. Judge Mayfield got 4,029 votes. And then we have Chief McGinnis, 4,011 votes. So it goes like this. My letter seat, 6,242. We have Trent Vaughn, 4,582. Then we have the mayor himself, 4,342. Then we have the mother-son combination, 4,309. And then we have the disgrace commissioner, 4,320. Then we have Sleepy, the city manager, who sleeps on there and come to work to sleep, 4,129. Judge Mayfield, 4,029, too. She got 4,129 for Ellis, the Sleepy, and 4,029 for the judge. And we got Chief McGinnis with 4,001. On that note, I'm going to bring in my first guest. Keep these votes coming. You're looking good. You know, people all across the country now is listening, and they want to do the Sample of the Year Award. I got it from Detroit. So, but you got my permission. If you want to do it, I don't have a problem. And on that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend, the one and only. We love you. Come on in. We're going to talk about everything that you can think of, including boycotting Mickey D's. Pumpkin, come on in here.
Hello?
Hey, I'm here. Talk to me.
Is this Reverend Pigmy? Can you hear me?
Yeah, this is Reverend Pigmy.
Okay. Hey, look, yesterday, you know, they were saying about how we don't fight back. Now,
yeah.
I want everybody to know it's a new day. It's a new day. And I want everybody to be inspired by the Montgomery Brawl.
Yeah.
Everybody be inspired by the Queen Bee on yesterday, Miss Belinda Parker Brown. Now, if we need to put anybody on blast, on Blow the Whistle, please go on Blow the Whistle on Facebook and make sure you put those numbers on there so we can blow the whistle, because, again, one of the things we're saying is that we have elected officials, we have people who are in organizations who are supposed to actually be working for the people, and these are the people who are terrorizing the people. They are breaking the law, trying to make you follow the law. I am very, very proud to also announce, Reverend Pigmy, I'm very, very proud to announce we've already filed into the federal court out in Las Vegas. And as you may have noticed, we have several famous mugshots that are being displayed. But we want them to know it's not going to stop there. I filed as the administrator of West Davis, my great-grandfather's estate. And I also filed a writ of possession. When I spoke with the state of Louisiana, they said, you need to file a petition. I don't need to file a petition. It belonged to me. I'm filing a writ. And you got 24 hours to pass over everything that's got his name. And we are looking for all heirs and potential heirs to please contact Blow the Whistle for their portion. And speaking on behalf of New Prosperity Baptist Church, where we had the homecoming on third Sunday and our week of revival going into Baptism Sunday. And this is the passing of what has been wrongfully taken, and also to be dispersed, the inheritance, through our churches. So we need all pastors to bring your church rolls. Please contact, blow the whistle on Facebook. Please contact Senator Chuck Grassley's office, along with Congressman, this is very, 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 very important, Congressman Jim Jordan. Please contact these two offices and let them know that you're blowing the whistle. You're blowing the whistle for the Davis Brother Lumber Company heirs. Again, you do not have to be a heir to blow the whistle. And 15 to 30% of whatever is recovered over $1 million will be distributed among the whistleblowers. Now, how do you know that? Because it's my lawsuit. How do you know that? Because I'm the one who make the rules, and these are the rules. Whoever worked, they get paid. And whoever worked the most, they get paid the most. So when you're blowing the whistle, make sure you contact us. Make sure you show your documentation so you can get paid for everything that you are doing. So, again, now, the money is here. The money is here. We're just only waiting for the people. When I spoke with Mr. Babineau for the state of Louisiana, he says, and tell us the names and tell us what portions that each person is to receive. So, again, now you got over 30 days to be able to go ahead and get your information in, get your family in, get your churches, get the church rolls in so we can disperse funds down through the churches, separation of church and state, and this has been wealth that was taken from our forefathers and our ancestors. It's been hidden, and that is on YouTube. Please go to YouTube, and you will see it is Congress examined nearly $32 trillion hidden Pandora Papers. And that was on December 8th, 2021. That was 2 years ago. They already knew that this money was hidden, and they already knew after the 600 journalists went to the 117 countries. When I turned that tax ID number in to the IRS out there in Las Vegas, when 600 journalists went to 117 countries, and now it has been discovered as what is called the Pandora Papers. So on YouTube, just type in Pandora Papers and just see all of the countries. And these are the world's richest people, and they are hiding their money right here in the United States and make number two for where the most safe havens in the world are hiding the money. So now, again, what we're saying is the money has been found. It has been discovered, and the people who have discovered it has been the whistleblowers who come on with us and is exposing it. And make sure, I don't know if you've been watching the news or not, they constantly talking about whistleblower this, whistleblower that. The reason why these other people are trying to call themselves as the whistleblower and actually giving the information that we have already given to them, because they want to be able to get the whistleblower payout. So now, please do not wait. Do not hesitate, because, number one, I am going to get it because I found it. But number two, I wanted to go to the people who really want to work and have an equal opportunity. This is an equal opportunity for anyone. You have your whole family, have your group, your organization, your church, your company. Have everybody come on board and blow the whistle and get portions, so therefore they're not asking you for your portion. Don't they want to always wait for that, Reverend Pinckney? They want to wait for you to get your portion when they could have gotten portions. But they want you.
See, white folks don't believe it, though. They don't believe that. No, they don't believe that they're going to get something. They do not believe that.
That's true.
You think
that's very true.
Their mind, you know, even when we got this contaminated water, got called gonna go out and vote. They won't even go vote. They don't want to do nothing. All they want to do is wait for that check to come.
Yes.
So you
yes,
know
as a matter
go.
Of fact, you know, that's real interesting because, again, all of the same issues that are going on in one city, I have found that I have been from sea to shining sea, and it seems like the same issues are plaguing our community in every city. It doesn't matter where it is. And then, of course, you just saw down in Florida, they want to say, oh, you know, this guy has a hate crime, but he had wrote letters to his own parents, and he had stuff everywhere. Why come he wasn't stopped before now? You're putting people in jail who walking, jaywalking, but you got people out here spilling all this kind of hate and ending up murdering and shattering other people's lives.
You're dealing with people. People stop. This system stopped with what they want to do. It's the system. It's this whole system that's got to be overturned. And if we don't overturn this system, it's going to take us another 450 years.
Well, I want you to know, no, sir. It's some new people. It's some new people in town. I'm telling you. I was down in Alabama. I want you to know I was down in Georgia. And it ain't the same, Reverend Pigman. I'm trying to tell you now. I'm telling the people out on the West Coast and in the Midwest.
I'm going to start traveling to meet these folks because I need to meet them. I need to know what's on their mind.
Come on down.
Yeah.
You know, you heard Miss Belinda Parker Brown, Queen B. She was like, come on down. We got to do what we got to do in order to do what we got to do until we do what we want to do. So, you know, that's exactly where we are because, you know what, as long as we keep continuing to think that things are going to change, and you see it has gotten worse from Dr. King. I think it's so much worse now than it was.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that speech, but you saw how many people showed up, too. And then the spirit of the people who were there, I mean, it was like they were totally, let me see. I remember the young lady, his granddaughter, having to really try to get the spit people where they were with. I mean, they were like, okay, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Come on, you guys, like they say, please, whatever you do, wake up.
Listen, you got 60 seconds. Tell us what you need to do. I'm going to bring in my good friend, Dr. Tang. Go ahead.
Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you so much again for this opportunity. But this is very important. We need to get in touch with the HBCUs and all of the black churches. Go to Blow the Whistle on Facebook. Tap in. Bring your church rolls. Get in line because we're getting ready to start dispersing separation of church and state so the IRS can't take your inheritance. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And please, everybody, come on board and blow the whistle.
All right. All right. You take
Thank
care
you.
Of yourself. All right now. All right. Let me bring in my good friend, the one and only Dr. Donald Tyne. Talk to me, Dr. Tyne. Talk to me.
I think what you were just talking about is very important, very powerful. You got a couple of things going on. One, you have a new generation that hasn't been taught to kowtow. You have a new generation that hasn't been taught to shake in their boots. You have a new generation that has been taught not to be chattering their teeth and be scared. So that's very encouraging. But what we talk about when we look at Dr. King, you got to keep things in perspective. You have to remember what year was Dr. King's dream and what year did he die. And they beat you over the head with I Have a Dream, but he had other speeches after that. They beat you in the head with I Have a Dream, but the reality is that they did a civil rights bill and everybody ignored it. The only time it was paid attention to is when they came out with an affirmative action bill, which said that you can sue if they don't do the civil rights bill. So when you mess with the money, that's when they got funny. When you mess with the money, that's when King had to be taken out. You know, nobody cares about CRT and critical race theory and and those type of things, that's irrelevant because it is talk. But when you're doing things to make things better, when you're doing things mm-hmm. to affect money, that's when they pay attention and take notice. So 68 was a year of hate.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Go back in 63, you're going to find Martin Luther King with a dream, and that he said it became a nightmare. So they'll tell you about the dream, but they won't tell you about his nightmare. And so we have not progressed since 1968, the year of hate. We have nothing other than an immigrant, an African immigrant, becoming president of the United States, and we go all our way out to him. Then they do the same okey-doke when we get this Indian chick. She becomes the vice president of the United States. Yeah. But the situation educationally hasn't changed. Situation economically hasn't changed. The situation housing-wise hasn't changed. The situation environmentally hasn't changed. The black community is still used as a dumping ground. And what you find out historically, that it was in the 60s that they reinforced and uplifted the Motorist Manumission with the awarding of the black house Negroes, the black sellout, the black snowball from Django. You wind up having that emphasis that they learned that, hey, we need to encourage the people to follow. So these sellout, these house Negroes, these deceivers, misleaders, otherwise they'll follow true leaders. So your young lady on the phone, she's a true leader, Miss Brown a true leader. So you a true leader. So what happens is that you have to build them up. Remember, Martin Luther King joined the Civil Rights Movement back in 58. Martin Luther King joined the Civil Rights Movement in 1958. What year was he killed? 68. He joined a movement. He didn't create a movement. The movement was already going. And they talked about King being moving too fast, being too radical. You see? And so what we have to look at, we have to get our history right so we know who to fight. We have to get our history right so we know who to fight. And what's going on now?
There you go.
What's going on now is our black people are being taught the concept of being a prostitute. Our black people are taught the concept of being a $2 hoe. Our people are being taught that don't get nothing that will stop subjugation. Don't get nothing that will stop subjugation, but get a few dollars for reparation. But get a few dollars for reparation. Because if you get a few dollars for reparation and leave in place the instruments and the vehicles of subjugation, nothing has changed. You just got some broke niggas who just had a few dollars and blew it, but has not addressed the issues of truly of reparation. Reparations is not a dollar issue. Reparations is an issue of the economy in terms of being able to be in a position to create a black economy. Reparation is in the requires you to be in a position to create a system of black health care. Reparations require you to be in a position to be able to create a system of black education like you had during segregation. We knew more black history during segregation than we do now with integration. We actually begged the people to teach us black history. We asked the white governor in Florida and school system, Can you teach us Black history, please? Can you let us learn about Black history? See, we don't understand that the slave mentality moved from the spiritual and the physical into the mental. We don't understand that the slave mentality moved from the spiritual and the mental and the physical into the mental. You see, it's more powerful to be a mental slave than it is to be a physical slave. It's more powerful to be a mental slave than a spiritual slave. Because once you're a physical slave and your mind is right, you're going to fight to get free. Once you're a spiritual slave, when your mind gets right, you're going to fight to be free. But if the mind is comfortable with being a slave, then you can be a slave for 400 years and still not want to be free. And so that's our situation. They have taught us how to do mental slavery instead of physical slavery. They have taught us how to do spiritual slavery. And now they've given us mental slavery to make sure that spiritually we stay enslaved. Now, white people are telling you that, hey, the Jesus that you're talking about look like you. But you can't put one of those up in people's houses. You can't put one of those in people's churches. If you put up a black Jesus in the church, then your congregation leaves. You see, so most black people are going to hell because they are rejecting the Christ that made them. Most black people are going to hell because they're rejecting the God that made them. Because the God is very clear and said, "You, I made you in my image. I took the black dirt in this tropical paradise called the Garden of Eve, and I blew into it and made you a living soul, but you don't like the black." And so when you think about your ghost, your Luciferian, you know, what is the color of the ghost? What was the color of the sheets of the Ku Klux Klan? You see? So you are hating the Son of Man. You are hating the Son of Man whose hair was wool. You're hating the Son of Man whose eyes were aflame with anger. You're hating the Son of Man whose voice was like rolling waters. You're hating the Son of Man whose feet were burnt bronze, taken out of a flame. You're hating the Son of Man whose skin was like the soot of a chimney. You're hating the Son of Man that was prophesied to be the man who's going to free all man. But he looks like you, and your job was to go to tell the world about the God that sent him, about the Father that loved him. You see, so that's the spiritual enslavement. And Billy Graham said Jesus was not a white man. You know, that's the number one preacher in the Christian world who said that. But black people can't hear that because of the mental slavery, which allows for spiritual slavery and self-imposed physical slavery. They allow you to have drugs to make sure that
your mental mind,
they allow you to have medicines that alter you mentally. They give you alcohol in the beginning. They used to give you alcohol to alter your mental so that way you wouldn't fight with the physical. Alcohol was what they used against American Indians also. Then they brought in heroin because you were fighting too hard. They had to bring in heroin to get you off of the physical and back into the mental type of slavery. Then you started to get it together again with the black movement, with the Public Enemy, with the KRS-One, with the X-Clan, with the Moaning Love. And you again were attacked where they had to bring in crack. They had to bring in crack. And so now we are rejoicing that we now have access to a mind-altering drug called weed, called marijuana, called gummies, called THC, which makes us totally, totally hell and crazy, you know. So we want to be you know, that's where we want to be with the THC. Totally high and crazy. Definitely going to a new hell. So totally high and crazy. So we go back into the mental slavery so we can reinforce our spiritual and physical slavery, because being on a drug does not let you leave the environment of your impression. So being on a drug does not allow you to leave the environment of your oppression. So you stay oppressed. And then when they give you an opportunity that can affect your birth rate of your children who are dying, you say, I don't want to save black babies from dying. I just want me just a check. I don't want to save black mothers from dying. I just want me a check. I don't want to be able to run my own business, and I just want me a check. I don't want to be able to run my own school systems. I just want me a check. I don't want to be able to have my own community and housing. I just want me a check. I don't want to be able to have my own independent counties and communities like we did in the 30s and 50s and 20s, where black people ran and we didn't need white people for anything. No, I don't want that. I just want a check. Do you understand that doing like that will set me mentally free, spiritually free, physically free? Man, I ain't been free in over 300 years. Why am I going to try to get free? I don't know nothing about being free. Man, that scares the mess out of me. Pass me some weed. That scares the mess out of me. Pass me some weed. Let me chew some weed. Give me a gummy and make my tummy feel tummy. Yeah, that tummy ain't yummy. Ooh, it's yummy in my tummy. And that way, shoot, give me the money so that way I can stack up and, shoot, man, I be getting high for days, and I be chewing my gummies, and I be mentally free. Shoot, I won't be thinking about a thing. But, shoot, that freedom thing, shoot, that stuff's scary. I ain't been free. Minister Farrakhan said if they get set us free, we won't even know how to take a walk. I agree with him. I wouldn't know what to do if I was free. I wouldn't know what to do if I had to take care of myself and do for myself. I wouldn't know what to do. You see? And that's where we are. So we have distractors to come in like your Jesse Jacksons. We have distractors to come in like your Al Sharptons. You have those distractors that come in and make sure that we don't leave again, that we don't leave the plantation. King and Malcolm was helping us to leave the plantation. Marcus Garvey was helping us to leave the plantation. So, but we have to look at the world bigger now, because the world has gotten smaller, because they've been trying to trick Africa to not look after us or to think after us. And so now Africa is saying, no, no, no. That's us over there in America. No, no, no. You over here in Africa, well, you don't have no entitlements or rights to the minerals in my house. You don't have no entitlements and rights to the furniture in my house. You see, so we are unique and special people. Black people in America have more knowledge of black history than the African people in their continent. You see, when you enslave a person in their own home, that's called colonization. But when you enslave them and take them away from their home and take them to another place, that's called chattel slavery, which means it's the slavery that you do to cattle, like the cows. And so we suffered slavery as cows in America. So when they say we the people on the Constitution, see, that doesn't include us, because at that time we were considered animals. So people are stupid when they say, well, you know, the Constitution says that we the people. No, you were not considered a people. You were considered an animal. You were considered a higher form of a cow. You were a little bit above that of a horse. So, and that is still there. And then they also later said, well, you know, for voting and for senators and for congressmen and representatives, these people who are a little bit subhuman, if you put five of them together, then you're going to have three votes. So therefore, whoever owned these chattel cattle slaveries, cattle slaves, five of your cattle slaves will equal three human being votes.
Mm.
So we need five blacks to equal three human being votes. But understand this now, let's be clear, that our white women were beating them to death, and, you know, and yeah, they were beat to death, but remember, they're not full human beings. So we got to put in the Casual Killing Act, so that way, if our white women casually beat the black man to death, if the white woman casually beat the white woman to death, that's considered a destruction of property, and, you know, she doesn't need to go to prison.
Right.
So remember, now, we have to put it where that because an officer kills a black man or a black woman, remember, they don't have human rights because they're not human. They don't have human rights because they're not human. Now, they don't have human rights because they're not human. So you can't be charging them for first-degree murder. No, Lord. George Floyd, that was not first-degree murder, even though it was premeditated because the knee was on the neck.
Mm-hmm.
His knee was on the neck of a cow. It was just a two-legged cow called George Floyd. So only thing that can happen by law is that you can't get him for premeditated murder or murder in the first degree. All you can do for a cow is violate his civil rights. So you can prosecute him on the civil rights, but you can't murder a cow.
Mm-hmm.
You can kill a cow. You can euthanize a cow, but you can't kill a cow. So in our minds, in the white mind of America, George Floyd was just euthanized. He wasn't murdered. He was euthanized. People need to get their facts right, because in our history book, blacks in 2023 in August going into September are still 3/5 human. So I don't know what all of this stuff is being talked about. And in my America that I live in August of 2023, says that if one of those coons, one of those Negroes, one of those blacks, if we can lock them up and put them in prison, then the 13th Amendment says that they are still now reclassified as slaves. So in 2023, if you go to prison, you are classified as a slave legally by the Supreme Court. So the dream is a nightmare because nothing has changed. The dream is a nightmare because people have been made comfortable in the nightmare. The deaths of the babies is a lie that we haven't made progress medically. Now the new deaths that just really started after the Trump era, with all the black women dying, that shows that we have not made progress. So this maternal mortality death, that's a new racist thing. Black people dying disproportionately and exposed by COVID, and how white people treated black, how the white doctors treated black patients, how the Indian doctors treated black patients, how the Arab doctors treated black patients, how the Asian doctors treated black patients, expose the heart and core of America to the point where being black is considered a public health threat. If you got black skin, your health is threatened by the general mindset of the public because it's all out against you. So this is what we're talking about. So with the young lady calling out separation of state, you know, we have to separate out the church and state, because otherwise you get a dictatorial government. You have to separate out the separation of church and state. Otherwise, you are Nazi Germany and then Mussolini's Russia. So we have to keep those things. And you know that we're here in the city of Benin Harbor. We're guilty of taxing black churches and not white churches. You know, we hear what the city assessor, a white city assessor, was allowed to tax black churches with a black government in place who said nothing and did nothing and allowed evil to progress. So in our text in the Bible, it says when you allow evil, you are condemned with that evil because that blood is on your hands. So as a black woman and as a black man, when you see evil and do nothing, in God's eyes, you are evil. So those who stand on the lines and do nothing and just try to record instead of help, they don't have to worry about going to heaven. Hell is their home. If you stand around and record on your phone and your videos and don't help, heaven is not your home. Hell is your home. Because God assisted those who stepped up and he elevated them up. God assisted those who stepped up and he elevated them up. He elevated Daniel through the lion's den, Meshach and Abednego and Shadrach through the fiery furnace. He lifted Gideon up so with a few that he was able to conquer a thousand. He lifted Samson up so he was able to conquer a thousand. Remember, God is a help you do God. He's not a sit down on your butt while he do that God. He's not a sit down on your butt while you do God. God is a help you through God. So you take one step, he'll take two. So those who are taking no step but just sitting and watching, you're going to be in hell with a good view. And I'm telling you, that's what the scripture's telling me and you, that God says faith without works is dead in the water. Faith without works is going to leave you dead and in the grave. Not to get that second resurrection, not to get that second chance at life. So we have to look at God's people and start to do for God's people.
Hey, all right, that's important. Yep. That's real important. And I tell you, you hit the nail right on the head when you talk about all these things that's going on. We need some folks to understand. But you know what? People are waking up now. I was in St. Louis. Them women was. I mean, they were. I said, man, I need to bring them over down here to Benton Harbor. But they were ready to fight. They were ready to do some things. And I said, I'm not used to that because most people here, they try to run and hide or they trying to stab you in the back, Doc, or me in the back. But these women took a stand and said, we're going to do something around here. We're going to make sure that our children have an opportunity. And I tell you, I'm with O'Malley Yesitelli. And that group, everything was so good, so perfect, that I would not believe that black folks is waking up, and some younger people, too. And then all those old dogs, it's the young folks that's coming forward. And we begin to grow, man. Look, all this work that we've been doing is beginning to bloom now. It's blooming. It's blooming, Doc. I'm telling you this. Even when I went up to Grand Rapids, it's blooming. You know, hey, man, but I appreciate all the hard work you do and the wisdom that you have, and it's so wonderful. Well, look, you got about 60 seconds to say whatever your heart desires. Give it to us.
Everybody needs to stand up against the health care industry. They're doing a gimmick right now where they're going to call you on the phone and offer you $50 to ask you about your health. And then if you do that, then they're going to now take over your doctor from being your doctor, and your insurance company is supposed to be your PCP. Many of you don't have a black doctor. Many of you don't have a good doctor, so it might not make a difference. But for those who do have a good doctor, then you have to let them know that I'm not giving up my doctor. I'll take the $50. I'm not giving them up. Remember, there are three type of doctors in the United States, three type of doctors, one that's owned by the insurance company, one that's owned by the hospital, one that's in private practice. Try to find a private practice doctor. He's the only one who speaks for you and can fight for you, advocate for you. The doctors owned by the hospital, the doctors owned by the insurance company cannot speak. Everything has to go through the CEO, and those doctors have been made holes, so they can't do anything for you. So we got to try to make sure that your health system and your health care is free. Remember, they're going to try to pimp you and me. So watch out for that. Call it out. And if you're mistreated, call your medical board and let them know how Arab doctor has treated you. Let them know how Indian doctors has treated you. Let them know how white doctor has treated you. Look and let them know how Asian doctor has treated you when they haven't treated you with respect and caused hurt or harm or injury to you. The key point, don't just be calling to complain. Point out what happened that hurt you physically, that hurt you emotionally or psychologically from your mistreatment. So it's time to fight back, and then you can just fight back with words. You don't have to lead a march. Thank you, Rev.
There you go. There you go, my brother. All right. Hey, man, I really appreciate you. And listen, let's talk soon because there's a lot going on. Let's make it happen. You have a great day, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk soon.
All right.